Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's Tuesday, June 15th. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for one more day this week for Teresa Tomeo. She'll be back in her host chair, God willing, tomorrow. It's been a pleasure being with all of you here on Catholic Connection, filling in yesterday and last week as well, last Monday. And I hope everyone is having a blessed start of this soon-to-be summer season. It's getting really beautiful here. I'm in Michigan, really beautiful in Michigan. It's really exciting to be outside. We have a great show lineup today. Kendra Tierney's joining us. She's a wife, a mother of 10 children from the ages of newborn to a teenager. She's an enthusiastic amateur, she says, experimenter in the domestic arts. She writes the award-winning blog Catholic All Year. She's a regular contributor to Blessed Is She Ministries and is the voice of liturgical living at Endowed Ministries. She's joining us to talk about the Catholic All Year companion book and prayer companion guide, a little book about confession for children as well she has authored. But the prayer book is prayers and practices are ways to connect with the Bible, the saints, the church, our families throughout the whole year. So she's basically saying, without paging through stacks of books, which we often do, you can easily access hundreds of beautiful devotions for every season of the liturgical calendar, which is a great companion guide to have. And this book is designed to help families pray the Christmas Novena on the 9 days leading to Christmas Day, sing the songs for the Feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, discover the 7 Sundays of St. Joseph, do the Stations of the Cross during Lent, have a blessed bonfire for the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, host a family joke night in honor of St. Lawrence, and much more. You'll learn to pray the rosary, chaplets, novenas, understand how to get indulgences, learn what blessings are appropriate to use by lay people, all with no preparation than picking this book up for yourself. So we'll be talking with Kendra here this morning about this book and what prompted it and how we can use it as a family. And then we're also celebrating Father's Day this weekend. As you, as we all know, this Sunday is Father's Day. Tyler Rowley's joining us. He has penned a book with 23 Catholics telling how their fathers led them to Christ. Tyler is a father, serves as the president of the Servants of Christ for Life, which defends unborn children through politics, media, and pro-life activism. He's a leader in young adult ministry for the Diocese of Providence. Tyler graduated from Brown University, where he studied political science and played football. He lives in Rhode Island with his wife and children. And again, the book is Because of Our Fathers, which I think is a great title. I love this book. I haven't read it. I just love the title, but I do want to get it. And I think it's a great Father's Day gift, if you could still have time to get it. And it features several known authors in the book, several known people, actually. Bishop Strickland is in the book. Abby Johnson is in the book. Father John Ricardo is in the book. Jesse Romero is in the book. So 23 Catholics telling their story about their how their fathers led them to Christ. And I personally, this is near and dear to my heart because I have said on the air here, I credit my dad to my faith and really planting those seeds in my life that flourished over the years and really grounded me in Christ, in my life in Christ. And it's been a journey, of course. It is a journey. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. You know, it's definitely a faith journey, but it was my father who really planted those seeds, and he didn't preach the faith. He lived the faith every single day. And I witnessed it as a child. I witnessed him reading his prayer books in his lazy boy chair and praying and the rosary. And he went to daily mass, truly devoted and Christ-centered. And he lived a very charitable and giving life. He was very loving and giving to strangers, helped people in need. I mean, I could tell you countless stories of things that my father did. And when he passed away, I'm sad because I never had the opportunity to tell my father how much what he did for me in my faith as his daughter. And I wish I had said that to my dad. I wish I had told him that how he lived his life in a very Christ-centered way really set the foundation for me in my life, in my faith, in my journey. And I hope you do that with your fathers. If you're so blessed to have your fathers alive and they contributed to your faith and really grounded you, tell them this Father's Day, along with giving them that set of golf clubs or that tie or that shirt. You know, write a little note and thank your father for the faith he left you, that he's given you as your child, as his child. And I really think it's important. You know, stats have been shared over the years that say that moms who have been responsible for sharing the faith, there's a 4% chance that children will continue. And that's not discounting moms' roles. I'm not discounting mothers. These are just statistics. But yet, a father who's responsible and sharing the faith with their children, those children have a 70% chance of continuing in their faith and going to church. That's incredible. And we know this is the year of St. Joseph. He is a perfect example of being the head of the household. You know, I really encourage you to do the consecration of St. Joseph. My husband and I did it earlier this year. I really encourage you to do the same. There's many churches around the country doing devotions and novenas and Eucharistic processions, all kinds of things in devotion to St. Joseph this year. Take your husband, take your sons, take your uncles, take your nephews, and share with them St. Joseph. You know, I have asked intercessory prayer of St. Joseph for my husband for a long time now as the head of our household, as my husband, as a father. I've asked St. Joseph to guide my husband in everything that he does. And as a workman, you know, my husband works with his hands. He labors like St. Joseph did. He's in heating and cooling. And yes, he runs a company, but he still does a lot of physical labor every single day. So I ask St. Joseph for intercessory prayer to guide my husband in his work life as well. And so bring St. Joseph in the life of the men, you know, the men in your life, and thank your dads. You know, I really wish I, you know, had the opportunity before my dad passed away 19 and a half years ago, that I had the foresight at that time to thank him. You know, we prayed the rosary together, you know, on his deathbed, all of us, my six sisters and I around him and my mom, and we prayed every single day as he was dying. You know, and his faith was tremendous. I remember the doctor saying, I've never seen a person so okay with dying. I've never had a patient so grounded in his faith that he feared nothing. And he was not afraid to die. He was sad to leave us, but he was not afraid to die. And it's because he had his faith. And the whole time he was on his deathbed, all he did was talk about Mary, Jesus, and Joseph every day, praying the rosary and praying with us. So thank your fathers this weekend for their faith if they're leaving you. And if you don't feel like your father is giving you the faith that you think, maybe you share that faith with him and bring him to Christ. Maybe you be the leader and help him as the head of your household. Show him the way if he needs that. And ask St. Joseph to help you. Ask St. Joseph to pray with you to help guide your father in his faith. It is 8 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo here on Catholic Connection. And now it's time for the news. Today's meeting between Pope Francis and President Biden won't include an early morning mass. The president's entourage had originally requested for Biden to attend mass with the Pope. However, the Catholic News Agency reports that that plan was rejected by the Vatican after considering the impact that President Biden receiving Holy Communion from the Pope would have on the discussion and the U.S. bishops are having. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is expected to vote this week on creating a committee that would outline Eucharistic rules. President Biden is in Brussels today following yesterday's NATO meeting. NBC's Tracy Potts reports.
President Biden joins a half-day summit today with European leaders talking trade, climate change, and the pandemic. One last show of unity before coming face-to-face tomorrow with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
The summit aims to reinforce a commitment to a strong transatlantic partnership, one that's based on common values and interests. The leaders will be discussing a wide range of topics, from foreign policy concerns and the global economic recovery to strengthening public health systems and climate change. Hundreds of New Yorkers found out Monday that they got expired doses of the COVID vaccine when they rolled up their sleeves at a pop-up site in Times Square. Noam Layden has more.
899 New Yorkers who showed up at a pop-up site in Times Square last week got a Pfizer shot that had expired. ATC Vaccination Services, the vendor in charge of that site, has been calling every patient to tell them they cannot guarantee the effectiveness of the doses and say those who got poked there should probably go get another shot. City Hall, well, they're not happy. They've given ATC the heave-ho from the Times Square vaccine site.
When the new school year starts in Florida in the fall, each day will begin with a moment of silence. Governor Ron DeSantis signed the legislation into law yesterday.
But we think it's something that's important to be able to provide each student the ability at every day to be able to reflect and to be able to pray as they see fit.
Republican State Representative Michael Caruso cheered the move as the first step in getting God back in our communities. Democratic State Representative Joe Geller, though, tells the Orlando Sentinel that this is something that local school boards should decide. Authorities say a man shot and killed a cashier inside a supermarket after an argument about face masks. Mike Bauer reports.
That man opened fire Monday on a cashier at the Big Bear supermarket in Georgia, killing the woman and injuring a DeKalb County Sheriff's Office Reserve Unit deputy who returned fire. According to the store owner,
he had a mask. She just a very cautious person, so she had asked him to pull up his mask. He refused and walked out, came back in, and did that.
The deputy, who was working part-time as security for the supermarket, tried to intervene and return fire, hitting the suspect a few times after he fatally shot the cashier. The deputy was also reportedly struck twice, but had a bulletproof vest on. I'm Mike Bauer.
The governor of Texas is expected to release details this week on building a border wall with Mexico. Greg Abbott declared his plans last Thursday, saying it'll stop the flow of illegal immigration and drugs. Former President Trump built 450 miles of a wall during his term, mostly in Arizona. President Biden stopped that on his first day in office. At the time, he said it was diverted attention from genuine threats to Homeland Security. The Archdiocese of Paris is launching a multi-million dollar appeal to restore the interior of Notre Dame Cathedral following a 2019 fire. The French government is responsible for the cathedral's structural restoration and conservation, but the cathedral authorities are handling the renewal of the interior. The initiative announced yesterday will cost $6 to $7 million. Projects presented to donors include the restoration of the case of that held a relic of Jesus's crown of thorns and the creation of a new tabernacle. Temperature records may burn away today as blistering heat wave sets in Southern California. This woman says she'll be looking out for her neighbors.
I think about these children, hoping that people don't leave the kids and the pets in the cars. So that's a huge concern for me.
An excessive heat wave warnings goes into effect for inland Los Angeles and Ventura counties at 10 a.m. and will last through at least 9 p.m. tomorrow. Valley areas could top out at 109 degrees today, and elsewhere is expected to hit at least 98 degrees. Unreasonably low humidity also makes for serious wildfire risks. It is 13 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamayo. We'll take a quick break and come back after this.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Our next guest is a wife, a mother of 10 children from the age of newborn to teenager. She's an enthusiastic amateur experimenter in the domestic arts. She writes the award-winning blog Catholic All Year and is a regular contributor to Blessed Is She Ministries and is the voice of Liturgical Living and Endowed Ministries. She's here with us to talk about her book, The Catholic All Year Prayer Companion. Kendra Tierney, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
So tell me what inspired this book.
You know, my earlier book, The Catholic All Year Compendium, I sort of compiled all of our ideas for how we practice liturgical living in the home. But when I first submitted that book to the publisher, it was over 600-page manuscript. They were like, yeah, we don't think we want to do that. So I took out the text of the actual prayers and the text of the Bible readings that we like to use, and just sort of made suggestions in that book. But then when people wanted to buy that one, they let me put together a sort of companion volume, and that's what this is. And I like to think of it sort of as the practical side, the thing you can just pick up and access these prayers, Bible readings, novenas, all of these things that are associated with different feast days, you know, sort of all in one volume. They were supposed to be, or in my mind, they were part of the original book, but I like it together in this second volume.
So they're both published by Ignatius Press?
Yes, that's correct.
So so we could get it through the Ignatius website, or where can we get the books? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, they're both available on my website and on the Ignatius website as well, and sort of wherever books are sold.
So what's your website, Kendra?
CatholicAllYear.com.
CatholicAllYear.com. So tell us about how you went about picking the prayers and the novenas in the Compania book. How did you go about doing this? In the book together?
I didn't write any of the prayers in the book myself. What I really love is sort of rediscovering these old Catholic traditions and these old Catholic prayers. So I have, you know, a stack of old prayer books that I've amassed over the years, and then just did, you know, research on the internet looking for things and finding these old devotions that particular saints were liked to promote and that have been traditionally associated with different feast days. And just sort of dust them off. It felt a little bit like being on one of those reality TV shows where they, you know, go into people's barns and look for treasures. Because a lot of these prayers and devotions are really part of our cultural inheritance as Catholics. And a lot of them have sort of fallen into disuse. But they've been a really beautiful part of my family's practice of the faith. And I am excited to share them with more people.
So as a mom of 10 kids, how do you practice this with your family? What do you do? Share with us how we can do what you're doing.
Yeah. So we do prayers in our family at different times of the day with different groups of people because there are so many of us. My youngest is one. My oldest is about to turn 19. And so obviously everybody has busy schedules and different things going on, but we have always prioritized a family dinner. And I kind of think of it as the apostolate of family dinner, that that's where our family connects. And it's also where we do a lot of our praying together. And so we come together at family dinner. We always say blessing before meals. And then if there are other prayers that are associated with that day, with a feast day that day, then we do those together at that time. Some things like, let's say the Christmas novena, which is one of my favorite devotions all year, we'll come together again after dinner by the fire and cozy and snuggly, and we spend time together doing that. But a lot of times it really is fitting things in with something that we're already doing. We say a lot of rosaries in the car on the way to things because we're all trapped in together. We're always looking for times that we can, that we can squeeze important prayers in to things that we're already doing because, you know, we're just as busy as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And so for people that are listening who praying together may seem foreign or they feel awkward, what advice do you have for them about, you know, a mom or dad listening this morning and wanting to initiate prayer with their kids, but they have never done it before?
Yeah, I would say that one of the things that I love about this book and one of the sort of reasons that it came to be is that I wanted that my husband works really long hours, that he's able to really make family dinner a priority and be here for that almost every evening. But he'll roll in, you know, he'll text me, I'm on my way, and I'll get dinner on the table so that we can have that family dinner together. But he doesn't have time to do a lot of preparation and looking into old prayers. So that's sort of my department. But with this book compiled together, it allows him to be a leader of prayer in our family and to give our kids the example of his practice of the faith and his, you know, leadership in that aspect of our family life. And I think that's so important. And it can feel awkward. It can feel strange to just be sort of shooting in the dark and trying to find things and looking on your phone for a translation you like and making sure you're not accidentally, you know, pulling up prayers that have been deemed heretical or something. You know, the internet is huge. And so being able to spend time, being able, you know, for me to have the opportunity to make sure that these prayers are all, you know, well translated and it's all approved by all the various church entities that should have approved them. And so it, you know, it's just all there together. And so to me, it takes a lot of the scariness out of trying to incorporate these things because they're just right there and you can look up the day and you can, you know, share these things with your family.
So do they go hand in hand, the Catholic All Year Compendium and the Catholic All Year Companion book? Kendra, do you need both of them?
You don't need both of them. They really sort of focus on different aspects. So the Catholic All Year Compendium is an introduction to the concept of liturgical living in the home, that idea of taking these feast days that we, and seasons of the liturgical calendar that we see at Mass, and bringing them home into our family life so that our practice of the faith isn't something that's just on Sundays or that's just at Christmas and Easter, that it's all year. And that's kind of, you know, that's where the title of my blog came from and the title of the book. So the Catholic All Year Compendium has histories and stories behind over 100 feast days and suggestions for ways that we observe those in our home with food, with some activities, and with, you know, prayers and Bible readings. And then the Catholic All Year Compendium is all of those, the texts of all of those prayers and readings and hymns all put together. So you can definitely use one without the other, but they do go nicely together.
And I love that here we are in the year of St. Joseph, and you shared the Discover the Seven Sundays of St. Joseph. What exactly is the Seven Sundays of St. Joseph?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful devotion, and it dates back hundreds of years of that people have been, you know, setting aside those seven Sundays before the Feast of St. Joseph in order to sort of highlight the way that St. Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church and such a great patron for our families. I think it's such a beautiful way to highlight our devotion to St. Joseph and our families and the way that he can intercede for us by looking at the joys and sorrows that he faced as a regular human man who was part of the Holy Family.
We're going to have to continue our conversation. We've got to take a break. We'll come back with Kendra right after this.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life. Lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism in the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. The Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We're talking with Kendra Tierney here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo, the Catholic All Year Prayer Companion. We're talking with Kendra on, and we're wrapping up about Sundays with St. Joseph. And I love it, Kendra, because we are in the year of St. Joseph, and we're coming up on Father's Day as well. And I just think the book is a great gift to give to somebody. I know it's designed for children, but maybe a gift for somebody who is having a baby shower or going to visit somebody who just had a baby to start that. Or even a couple, getting married, you know, knowing that if, you know, to start the family on this year of being a Catholic all year round.
Yeah, and it really is designed for family use or adults. I mean, in our home, we definitely use it with our kids, but it's not directed at kids per se. It's a resource for adults to use to grow in their own faith and to impart that faith to their kids.
And Kendra, you also share how to pray the rosary, chaplets, novenas, understanding indulgences. Can you share with us as well as that of what you've shared there?
Yeah. There are lots of different types of prayers in here, novenas, like you said, and litanies. And there are so many different types of prayer that are part of the Catholic faith. And I know it can feel really overwhelming. It does feel really overwhelming for me to have that feeling that there are always so many different prayers and devotions that a person could do every day. There are so many different devotions that we hear from our friends, like, oh, this particular devotion changed my life. You definitely have to be doing this. You definitely have to be doing that. But there are really too many to get to in any particular day. And that's why I love the framework that the liturgical calendar gives us. It rather than just having this feeling of, oh, I should just generally pray more with my family, I should pray more myself, the liturgical calendar really gives us, here's a day on which you should try this particular prayer. Here's a season. For instance, Lent, we can focus on doing the Stations of the Cross during Lent. Even though there's no reason you couldn't do the Stations of the Cross every day or every Friday, but I can't get to them every day. I can't get to them every Friday, but I can get to them every Friday during Lent with my family and make that a family tradition and make that something that my kids expect that we're going to do every year. And other things, like you mentioned, you know, the seven Sundays of St. Joseph, that yes, we should have a devotion to St. Joseph every day of the year, but to particularly highlight him on those seven Sundays that are leading up to his feast day, and to focus our prayer on the rosary in the month of October. And if we're not saying a daily rosary, to that remembering, oh, this is the month of the Holy Rosary, that can really give us that inspiration to do it and to pray for the holy souls in November. And to try out different devotions that different saints have promoted on their feast day, and then see, hey, how does this devotion work for my family? Because as much as any particular friend or priest or people on the internet say you must do this particular devotion, we're all different, and different devotions are going to touch us and help us to grow in personal holiness. And so I really love trying them all and seeing which ones work best for me, work best for our family, and then having them be able to come around again the next year, especially because we can all end up in difficult situations in a particular year, you know, job stuff or moving or babies, and things sort of, you know, our faith, practices of faith can kind of fall off. And the liturgical calendar is there to remind us, all right, you can just get right back to it next year.
Mm-hmm. You know what I love about this too, Kendra, is because often people struggle with how to pray. And it's kind of a guide saying, okay, if you struggle, here are some prayers for you. Starting that conversation. So maybe do a new novena and meditate and see what God's putting on your heart. Do the rosary, meditate, and see what God's putting on your heart. Do a litany and meditate and see what God's putting on your heart. Because often I hear people saying, I don't even know how to pray.
Yeah, and the best way to pray is to just start doing it. I love, there are many saints who have talked about, especially St. Teresa of Avila, talking about that prayer is being in a conversation with God. And that's always been a really helpful way for me to think about it, is just, here's a way that I can have this conversation with God and to introduce these different ways of conversing with my kids has been just a beautiful thing over the years, and to see how they interact with the different types of prayers at different ages. But a big favorite in our house is always litanies. Litanies are so fun to do with kids because there's, you know, they can shout the responses, yeah. Especially the Litany of St. Joseph. We like to shout the Terror of Demons one. It just really creates this, it helps to foster this family culture of that promotes our faith as something that is really integral to ourselves and to our family life. And, you know, this year we saw, this past year and a half, 2 years, we've really seen how important it is to foster the strength of our domestic church, mm-hmm. because, you know, we've always been able to take for granted that we would have access to the sacraments and to our physical churches. And then all of a sudden when we didn't, it really helped us realize how important mm-hmm. having some of these faith practices in our homes is to our, is to our family faith life.
We have about a minute so left here with you, Kendra, and I just want to squeeze in a question about your book about confession before we let you go. Tell us about that book.
Yeah. that was actually the first book that I wrote. It was the first anything that I wrote. It's called A Little Book About Confession for Children, and I wrote it while I was preparing my oldest son, who's now 19, to receive the sacrament of confession. And I complained to my spiritual director that I couldn't find a book that I liked to help him prepare. And that's not a good idea to complain to your spiritual director, because he said, well, why don't you write one? And I'd never written anything, but I did. And Ignatius Press picked it up. And from there, I started the blog, and the other books have come from that. So, I have a great love for that first book. And it's been really great for my kids. And I like to look through it before confession. And it's great.
Great. Kendra Tierney, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kendra Tierney's books, you can get them at Ignatius Press or her website, Catholic All Year. It's the Catholic All Year Prayer Companion and a little book about confession. We're going to continue our conversation here after the break with our next guest. Tyler Rowley will be joining us.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
I'm really excited about this next guest. I love this book, 23 Catholics Tell How Their Fathers Led Them to the Christ, because I really believe that it was my father who planted the seed that really led me into where I am today. He was a Christ-centered father. And I have numerous stories that really tell that story. He didn't preach. He really just lived the faith. And Tyler Rowley pens this book of 23 Catholics telling their story about how their fathers led them to Christ. And Tyler, really impressive with the list of people who contributed to your book. So tell me how this came about for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Vanessa. It came about because I heard a story about a father. One of the contributors is Father Gerald Murray. You might know him from EWTN, but he's a Catholic priest. He's an amazing diocesan priest, and he was talking actually on Catholic radio one day, and he was talking about his dad, and he had just buried his dad the week before, so he was sort of talking all about him. And he said when he was 7 years old, his dad was getting ready for work like he normally did. And, you know, he's sitting down eating cereal at the breakfast table, watching his dad. And all of a sudden he realizes that his dad is going to church before he goes to work. And it sort of dawned on him that he was doing this every single morning, and he never had any clue about that. And he was just bewildered. And he said, "Dad, why do you go to church every day? I thought we only have to go on Sunday." And his dad said, "Well, I love to be with Christ in the Eucharist every day, you know, before I start my day." And, 50 years later, Father Gerald Murray remembers that story. And there's sort of this moment where, you know, the biggest and the best guy in his life is doing something different from just going to, you know, a Sunday event with the family. This is something more. If dad's doing this every single morning and he's sacrificing time and his sleep, then this is something more. And that's like a little seed that starts to grow of how important Christ is, how important the Catholic Church is. And I heard that story, and I immediately thought of a study that my priest had sent me years before. It was just like an email forward, and had this attachment with this study about the generational transmission of faith, about how fathers and mothers, how the faith correlates down to sons and daughters. And it was amazing. The numbers were staggering, and I talk about the numbers in the book, that the faith is much more closely related to the father, that transmission of faith is much more closely related to the father, to the point where if the father doesn't practice, it's almost a 0% chance. It's actually 2-3% chance that the children will become regular, what's called regular churchgoers. That's how they find it in this study. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about those two things, and then all of that is ringing true for people in my life too. They're all sort of these spiritual mirrors of their fathers. And I thought, there's got to be more to this. You know, this is what the church teaches. This is what, you know, studies confirm. This is what Father Murray's talking about. And I just went out and I started talking to, you know, the different people you see in that book. And that was really the most interesting part, is that everyone I talked to, you know, I know them as committed Catholics, but I don't know anything about their dads. But everyone had the same response, that, yeah, like, I got my faith from my dad. I am who I am because my father took the faith very seriously. And I said, you know, we just got to tell these stories and get people to realize, and get men to realize, particularly young men who may be sort of one foot in the church, one foot out. And, you know, they think that they're doing the right thing if they maybe go to church every once in a while. But no, I mean, it's up to you. I mean, your kids are going to either gain the faith or lose the faith based on your example. And you got to be all in. You got to be in for Christ. You have to understand what the church is, and you have to pass that on to them. Otherwise, they'll fall away, and your grandkids won't even be baptized. I mean, those are what the statistics show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I've heard stories like that. And the people that you have contributed, who have contributed to the book, Father John Ricardo, Bishop Strickland, Abby Johnson, the names are incredible. Jesse Romero. I mean, and you're right. You know their faith, but you don't know their fathers. And my dad was a regular churchgoer, daily churchgoer too. And I remember after he passed away 19 and a half years ago, a woman who would see him at another Chaldean woman. I'm from the Chaldean community. She would see him at morning mass, and every day at 7:30 in the morning, he would go to church and go to work. And she came up to me one day, and she's like, "Vanessa," she goes, "I would see your dad every morning at church." And she goes, "It was as if nobody else was there except your dad and Christ. That's how devoted he was. It was like you watched this man pray, and it was like your dad and Christ were in that church." And it was just, it stuck with me. And And you're right. I'm so glad you put this book together, because we have to share that story with other men in our lives. And my dad was really, truly grounded in his faith. I mean, he read scripture every day, went to daily mass every day. Just the way he lived, the way he treated people was so Christ-centered. And when he died, we kept having people come up to us at the funeral telling us little stories about what he did for them that we never knew about. We're like, what? What did my dad do? I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, so, that makes me think of, there's one woman who contributed, the story you just told about your dad made me think of this. Her name is Megan Riley, and her dad died a few years ago. And at the mass, at the wake, this woman walks in with her 16-year-old daughter, and they had never met them before. But 16 years before that, there was a woman in prison, and she wanted to have an abortion. And Megan's father was a lawyer. He was the first lawyer ever appointed to represent an unborn child. This was in New Jersey, going back to the late 70s. And he argued that she should not be let out of prison to have an abortion. And he obviously lost the case. But he wasn't trying to win the case. He was trying to win over the mother's heart. And when the mother was let out of prison to have the abortion, she was so moved by his argument that she decided to not have an abortion. And 16 years later, when he died, she walked into his wake with her 16-year-old daughter, met the family for the first time to thank him for the life of her child.
Wow.
And and Megan is again the spiritual mirror of her father. Her father was an absolute warrior, Catholic warrior, pro-life warrior, and that's exactly what his daughter Megan is. People take on the spiritual life of their father. This is why we call God Father. This is why we call priest Father. This is why the father is the head of the household. This is what the church has been trying to instill in us. And we live in a culture that wants to, the rejection of that is really a rejection of Christ. You know, we talk about toxic masculinity, and we have to take down the patriarchy, and we have to, you know, they're trying to dismantle the family. That's all an attack on our faith, on the Catholic faith. That's what this is.
Yeah. Well, just like, you know, going back to the whole changing the word of mother to birthing parent. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, with what's going on
there's
in the world.
Yeah, there's nothing that they don't want to trample on to destroy the family, destroy the faith.
Exactly. I remember I was writing for a local women's magazine at the time that my father passed away, and I penned a column about his life. And without me knowing, some priest picked up the magazine at a doctor's appointment and was reading the column. And he read my column during his homily. I didn't know him. And somebody else called me. She's like, do you know this priest read your column in the homily today? And the point of the column was, my father didn't die a rich man or a famous man, but he died a loved man. And the love is really comes from Christ. And my sisters and I, we were at the wake, and I have six sisters, and we were at the wake, and there were streams of people. It didn't stop. We're like, where are these people coming from? Who are these people?
Right.
And it was like nonstop streams of people. We couldn't even rest and go to the bathroom and take a break. We're like, who are all these people coming? And we realized it was all these little things my dad did for people over his life that he never told anybody about. And they came, they, you know, read his obit in the paper and came to pay the respect. It's incredible. I didn't realize, you know, Tyler, till I got older, the impact my father made on my life till I got older. I'm like, one of my biggest regrets, and I was saying this earlier as I was leading into interviewing you, is here we are coming up on Father's Day. And I think your book is a great Father's Day gift, by the way, for anybody listening. Pick it up from Ignatius Press. Telling your fathers, I wish I had told my father, thank you, Dad, for the faith you gave me. Can you speak to the importance of thanking our dads, you know?
Yeah, that's just a truth about human nature that, you know, sometimes we don't realize, you know, who's impacting us and how they're impacting us. And sometimes, unfortunately, it doesn't really hit us until they're gone. And this is a good – Father's Day is always a good time, you know, to reflect on who this person is in our life, what he's done for us, the ways that he's – maybe fallen short, but he's, you know, understanding that he's a human being and recognizing all the ways that he's trying and really just, I mean, really maybe reflect, you know, for the listeners out there, reflect on two things. Maybe you had a really great dad and reflect on how that has shaped you and how that's helping shape your children, and making sure that you're living up to your father's expectations and you're passing on the faith like he passed it on to you. But maybe, you know, there's other people out there, maybe they didn't have a great witness of a father. Maybe they didn't have that good fatherly example in the home. And maybe they fell away from the faith because of that. Now, you have to – this is a really important point. The faith isn't true because our father gave a good witness. And it's not false because he gave a bad witness. So maybe you had the poor witness of a father. Don't let that make you fall away from our true father. And take a moment to say, okay, I'm not going to let the bad things in my life pull me away from Christ. And that's what I always tell people about this book. It doesn't, you know, fathers do lead people to Christ, but if you don't have that fatherly witness, don't let it make pull you away from him. And reflect on that. And if you know someone in your life who never had that good witness of a father, you know, this might be a good book for them to read because they can see psychologically how that shaped them. And maybe they need to personalize the faith and really decide for themselves if it's true or not. Because ultimately, you know, our true father is the one who created us, is in heaven. Yeah. And that's the one who should be leading us to his son and to his church.
Amen to that. Tyler, we got to take a break. We'll continue this conversation with you right after this.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
We're talking with Tyler Rowley, author of 23 Catholics Tell Their Fathers, How Their Fathers Led Them to Christ. And one of the stories we have in there is Father John Ricardo, and I haven't read it, so I don't know what story he shared, Tyler, but I always remember him talking about how his father, who headed Chrysler, major corporation, he would always see his father kneeling at his bed praying. And that always stuck with me here. This man ran a huge auto company, and he every night was at his bed praying. And you have amazing stories in the book. We have a couple minutes here with you. Anything else that you want to share with us about the book or their contributors, Tyler?
Well, people seem to really like Father Ricardo's essay, so maybe I'll talk about that real quick. Mm-hmm. He talks about the day of his funeral, and his brothers heard their mother walk up to the casket, bend down, and whisper, "I know Christ because of you." And that's the image right there, right? That's the children around the father, you know, who's gone to his reward, the mother who has been, you know, blessed with a great husband, children, and she tells, you know, the what the 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 whole goal is of marriage, that they brought each other to Christ. And she bends down and whispers those words that, you know, I know Christ because of you. So people always find that quite moving. And yeah, Father Ricardo, his father, he's the CEO and chairman of the board, president and chairman of the board of Chrysler Corporation, a man with money, with honors, with accolades, with prestige, but never for one second forgot who he was, you know, a son of God and a father, first and foremost, you know, mm-hmm. and was home every day for dinner and prayed constantly, took his children to Mass daily, prayed the rosary daily with his family, never let the world, you know, even though he was successful in the world, never let the world take him over. And that's what a father has to do, you know, whether yeah. you have a lot of money or little money, no matter who you are, your goal is to bring your children up in the faith. And every encyclical that our church has written, whenever it talks about fathers, it talks about their primary role is to create life and to bring that life up in mm-hmm. the church as sons and daughters in the church. And these stories are just little examples of that. You know, they're all, you know, 23 essays of the way fathers did that. And there's little innuendos and examples within each story of how these fathers did that. So I think it's a practical book. They'll take some lessons from it. You know, I can do that with my family. I can do that. And then it's just inspiring. You know, a lot of people have just said, you know, they just feel like, you know, motivated to be a better father after reading it. And then if you read it, you really want to get this in the hands of someone, that young guy, maybe just engaged or just married, one foot in the church, one foot out, and, you know, hopefully push him over the edge to commit himself to Christ.
Tyler, thank you so much for being with us here in A Catholic Connection. Because of Our Fathers from Ignatius Press, please pick it up. It's a great Father's Day gift. Tyler Rowley is the author. Thank you for being with us here in Catholic Connection. And thanks for tuning in. Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. She'll be back in her host chair tomorrow. God bless you all. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.